Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another episode of the Footmarks podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. And with me, as always, is Jared Kimber, who you can find literally everywhere. And the title for this particular episode of the Footmarks podcast is All Format Head. No pun intended, I promise you that. And it's basically on Travis Head, who is arguably the most effective all-format batter in contemporary cricket at the moment. And we'll be talking about all the things that make him special and, you know, further strengthen that notion. But before we even go there, Jared, I want to dial it back a bit to the time when Travis Head was dropped from the team at the end of 2020, and he was Test vice-captain at that moment in time as well. He's never been given the vice-captainship again, but he's come a long way since then, hasn't he?
I think he might be vice-captain again, isn't he now?
Oh, is he? Is he vice-captain again?
Yeah, but I think what they've done now is they've taken away from the Indian style of official vice-captain. It's so funny. A bunch of people were tagging me into posts about people go, I can't believe Shubman Gill's vice-captain. I can't believe India is naming vice-captains publicly anymore. Like almost every other country in the world has moved on from that, right? India loves a vice-captain. Yeah. He was so raw when he came in. The more I think about it, the more I think that I couldn't understand it because I was watching this player and I'd seen his one good innings, right? Or his couple of good innings. And I was like, this guy's not an international cricketer. And he didn't look like he was going to be. And they were giving him the vice captaincy, as you said. It was really bizarre. And I remember when the right arm bowler started coming around the wicket to him, he just went out over and over again. Like, it's like he'd never seen anyone bowl around the wicket to him. And I was like, this guy might be done. And I honestly, like, you know, I'm throwing myself under the bus here, but I think if you go back and read some of my articles, I was basically saying that. I was like, I don't know how this guy continues to survive here because he doesn't seem to have all the skills he needs to do well. And when he came back, even when he did well against England, and I was very impressed with that, I was like, well, you can't take him to Asia, like, because he's not going to make a single run the way he bats against spin. And you know, it's a bit of a rocky road, but eventually he's worked that out as well. I'm so impressed by him because he is very naturally talented. There's no doubt about it. I remember talking to Trent Woodhill during 2019. So that's just before he gets done. And Trent was saying to me that he just picks the ball up in a way that he hadn't seen anyone else. And you gotta remember, Trent's saying this when no one is talking up Travis Head. Everyone's sort of distancing themselves a little bit from him.
Didn't Shane Warne, back in the day when Head was a youngster, kind of tout him to be a future great? I think there was a bit of
when
that,
he was
right?
young. Yeah, when he was young and when he made that big innings, everyone got on him. And South Australia was always on. But what I'm saying is there was a period where everyone backed off, right?
Yeah.
Because South Australia had a history of like overburdening players with captaincy when they were too young, of players never really, of looking really good, but never coming through. You had a guy who had a couple of really great outlier innings, but a bunch of other times where he just didn't make any runs. Like there was plenty there to be like, is Travis Head really this good a player? And when he failed at international cricket for a while, you're like, maybe he's not. And then to go from that to what he is now is, it's one of the quickest transformations. I'm trying to think of another player. Because you like Aidan Markram's taken years and still hasn't got to the Travis Head level, right? Like I don't know if you could think of anyone else who has probably gone through a period where you're just like they might never play again. Too, they might be the best batter in the world.
Damien Martin?
Yeah, but Damien Martin had made runs for a long period of time at the level below by that stage. He had come back, but yeah, Damien Martin's another really interesting one, and it shows you how development curves. You realize this. You know, if you ever go on to have kids or you watch with your nieces and your nephews, you kind of think that like kids just get better a little bit at a time. But what actually happens is they get really better and then actually they get worse. Then they get a little bit better again and it goes up and down. Then they have a breakthrough. And it's like no one can ever work out what that is. And it's the same with international players. You know, I talk about peak years and everything else. Some players just don't follow those kinds of curves, right? And they're sporadic. And I think Head's probably one of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting, right? I mean, he comes comes up as a prodigy from South Australia, who a lot of people are touting to be great. Then he doesn't quite cut it at international level, gets that vice-captainship in a weird way, and it's also taken away from him. And that was 2020, so 3 to 4 or whatever, however many years since. He's smashed a ton versus India in the World Test Championship final in 2023, which literally won Australia the Test Mace. And then he also, just a few months later, once again whacked India in the final of the ODI World Cup. Another ton for the big man in Ahmedabad, and Australia take that trophy as well. And in this most recent Border Gavaskar trophy, he hit back-to-back hundreds in two of those tests. And he's also been absolutely ballistic in T20 cricket in this last little while. So it really is a sensational arc. And like you said, it's like a flip of a switch. Like one random day, Travis Head decided to be a monster and he flipped that switch and now he's absolutely unstoppable.
Yeah, and the impact he has, like watching, we've just done another podcast on betting markets, it'll be out soon, but watching the betting markets react to Travis Head, they are, you're either back him or you're terrified by him. There's no in the middle, right? And when he goes out, the odds crater for whatever team he's playing for, such a huge amount, because the market's like, well, Travis Head's in, he could score 9 runs a ball, by headbutting it, right? Like, he's that much better than everyone else. And the minute he's out, it's like, how could anyone else ever make runs again? So it's the impact that he's made in the last little while is just remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at his T20 cricket in particular, right? Travis Head was Australia's leading run scorer in the recently concluded T20 World Cup, which happened last year in the summer. And then it's worth mentioning that his strike rate was 158. Now, that came as no surprise to any of us because we had seen what Travis Head was capable of at Sunrisers Hyderabad, his IPL team, where he basically kind of changed T20 cricket alongside opening partner Abhishek Sharma. He's unlocked this new mode of absolute devastation, and it's a spectacle in every possible sense. And then, of course, the irony of it all is that he unlocks that mode seemingly in India in the IPL, and then he's just destroying India left, right, and center to the point where Irfan Pathan is now calling him Travis Headache. Like, it's a very fun subplot, isn't it?
Yeah, and, specifically, you want to do your best stuff against the biggest teams or the best teams, right?
Yep.
And that's where he has managed to do it. It's just, for me, it's just the impact that he has on opposition bowlers and the fields and everything. I had to fight with this old guy on X. Actually, it might have been on Blue Sky because I don't use X anymore. But I think it was on Blue Sky. And he was just like, the innings in Adelaide I was lucky. You know, he should have been caught he should have been caught at slip and he wasn't. And I said, have a look. Go back and have a look at where the slips were.
Yeah.
And I said, there's a gap between first slip and the wicketkeeper. And that's because they were using one slip to cover all the different places he was already scoring, right? They couldn't have an extra slip in the cordon. He has such a big impact on teams at the moment. It's very hard to get him out because you can't keep your fielders in the right positions to catch him because he's going to hit fours and sixes so often against you.
Yeah, I mean, he is that kind of batter, right? He's very punchy and he counterattacks in test cricket and absolutely demolishes, the ball from ball one in limited overs cricket. That's basically Travis Head right now. He was an accidental opener in ODIs. I mean, Australia hadn't sent their full strength team to Pakistan, so Travis Head was opening and he struck that quick 500, right? And it's just that the impact that he creates wins his team games of crickets. He eliminates the opposition in a very short amount of time. And when I was reading your piece on him, I kind of learned that that's what he was like in his early days in South Australia as well.
Yeah, I was talking about before that big 100 that he made early on was when it came, it was absolutely like, I thought he got promoted too quickly on the back of that, because he hadn't got the consistency around that. And that was why I was always very skeptical of him early on. But the reason that, why when I would talk to people in the camp, they would just be like, yeah, but no one else can do that. That innings is not a normal innings, right? And he had that ability. And I think he lost confidence quite a bit at international level to start his career. And then when he came back, I think he went towards that sort of that thinking of, well, this might be my last chance. I'm just going to play it my way. And so there had been plenty of signs in domestic cricket that he had that gear, and anyone who'd watched the Big Bash, and I think some of them might've been in the domestic one day competition. Everyone knew that he had that gear. What we didn't know is that he could just use it as his only gear.
Yeah, it really is fascinating if you think about it, how he can go into sixth gear without being perturbed at all. And, we all knew that Travis Head could absolutely incinerate pace. And it's interesting how he's also fantastic square of the wicket, and he can hit down the ground as well. I've seen him be cheeky at times. So one thing that he didn't have in his game was, proficiency versus spin. His batting prowess versus spin wasn't quite up there, but now he doesn't even hold back versus spin either. He's completely kind of dominated that aspect of his game as well, which was a weakness. And not too long ago, when the Border Gavaskar Trophy was going on, Sunil Gavaskar was convinced that India weren't bowling short to Travis Head enough. And when India did attempt to bowl short, he started to uppercut them for six, right? So right now, it seems to me that the only way to dismiss Travis Head is with the new ball when the ball is moving away from him, right? And if you fail, then he will absolutely clobber you.
Yeah, I think there's still probably a spot just above the top of off stump, maybe slightly outside of it, but around that area where you can actually cause him some issues. I've seen him edge those behind. I've seen him drag him back onto his stumps. If it keeps low, he gets bowled at the top of off stump.
Yeah.
But I remember there was a graphic on Sky's coverage where they showed his strike rate, and it's like the smallest little box, Bayram. And if you miss it, he kills it. And I remember, to go back to the Trent Woodhill conversations, I remember Trent saying to me that he could basically cut any delivery. And so when you are so good at getting to your best shots, it makes it very hard for the bowlers, right? Like what does the bowling team do at that point? And as you said, we've seen situations where the new ball can give him trouble. I don't think he's a brilliant starter. Like he's not a terrible starter, but I don't think he's a brilliant starter either. He doesn't come out like, he's not one of those guys who comes out like, sometimes you see with Johnny Bairstow, right? He'll come out to bat and you just be like, well, Johnny Bairstow's going to make runs today. Look at that. Yeah. You don't always see that with Head.
Sometimes I've seen him getting uncomfortable when the ball is kind of aimed at his elbow, a bit short and it's towards his body. Sometimes he can't get into position quickly enough when, I guess, the bowler is quick enough.
But the thing is that if you think about all the things we've just talked about, he can cut those balls, the first ones that we were talking about. If you get into his body, he can get inside that and play the pull shot up in the air and it's going to go for six. And if you bowl at the top of our stump, which is probably the other place that you want to really bowl to him, he can get inside the line and flick it to the leg side. That is what great batters do, right? They have the ability to essentially, you know where to bowl to them, but they then turn it into a situation where it's very, you or me. And the problem, it's a bit like Viv Richards. I think teams knew that the best thing to do was probably bowl outside the off stump and bring it back in, right, to him. Because, if he's playing across the line, he'll eventually miss one. But you're going to have to get hit for about three or four fours and hold your nerve, right? And what Travis Head is making people do is hold their nerve.
Yeah, if he sets himself up and he's in position, he has an impeccable range, really. Like I said earlier, square of the wicket, not a problem on either side. Down the ground, we just recently last year witnessed him do wonders at Sunrisers Hyderabad. So you can't pitch it up. You'd be a bit afraid going short. You have to hit that perfect length in order to cause Travis Head problems, which makes him a batting demon. And if you think about his resurgence, right, in international cricket at least, it started from that 2021-22 Ashes. He got COVID later and that also kind of spurred the resurgence of Usman Khawaja. A very crazy butterfly effect over there. But he was Australia's highest run getter in that series. And the key element to be discussed over here is that his strike rate was 86 in that series. Now, prior to that series, Head's career test strike rate was below 50. So something clearly changed then. Was it like something that he worked on in his game? Was it a confidence thing? How do you explain it?
And that is why Nasser Hussain decided to bowl first at the Gabba. And this all, of course, reminds me of Hit Wicket, which is a mobile cricket strategy game that is all about making those tough decisions. Who do you want to send in as an opener when the asking rate is climbing? Do you go for the big hitter or the steady accumulator? Me, I like to throw in someone a little bit unorthodox, a bit of a wild card like the general. That keeps the opposition guessing. And what about the bowling attack? Do you unleash your express pace early or hold back for the death overs? I'm always tempted to bring on a mystery spinner in the middle overs and just try and break a partnership. Hit Wicket puts you in the captain's chair. You draft the squad and select the batting order and even decide when to use those game-changing abilities. Do you burn your 2x ability to chase down a big total or save it for a critical moment later on? It's strategic, it's addictive, and it's more nerve-wracking than facing a Shoaib Akhtar bouncer. Give it a go. Download Hit Wicket and see if you've got the tactical nous to win. I think he had a lot of flaws in his game. As I said earlier, I think he didn't play the spinning ball well, especially when it was spinning away from him. I didn't think he was a particularly high-level player of spin in general either. When he first started, people bowl over the wicket to him, and he kind of made his debut in that period where people started coming around the wicket all the time. And he got swept up in that, and he didn't have an answer for that. And I think those two things were the issue. But it has to be confidence at a certain point. I'm not saying he hasn't worked on a few things, because I think he has. But I think it's confidence at a certain point, because there's no way that player I was watching the first time in Test cricket was going to come out and start just slashing everything over backward point. And then if you got too straight, was going to hit you back down the ground over your head. He just wasn't going to do that, right? And I think Australia allowed him to be that player and encouraged him to be that player. And then he just took it to a whole nother level.
Yeah, and he chances his arm, right? He's a risky player. A lot of his shots are aerial. It's not that he plays down the ground all too frequently. He does kind of go for elevated strokes. So it's interesting how, you know, he doesn't actually get involved with a lot of false shots. A lot of those times he's nailing those deliveries that he's targeting. And that is also a bit unique. I mean, I know we don't have the numbers in front of us right now, but it's just an observation.
No, you're right. Look, I think when you have a player like this, and you can go back to Sehwag or Gilchrist or Viv Richards and Victor Trumper, they make more mistakes than everyone else.
Yeah.
Okay? People, that guy I was talking about before, like he had all these theories. He'd go, if you go back to great innings, people didn't, you know, the great innings, no one made a mistake. And I was like, they did. You've just forgotten them.
Right? You're supposed to make mistakes if you play like Travis Head.
Yeah. And if you go back and you watch Gilchrist or Sehwag, you know, you'll watch lots of plays and misses, right? They make lots of errors. But the thing is that when they make that error, it's fine, because the next ball, if you put it in the same area, they might hit it for four or six. Yeah. And they swing so hard that it's very hard to catch them in the slips on certain days, right? And so that you expect slightly more errors. But because they are trying to hit the ball so hard, even when they don't quite time it, it quite often still flies off to the boundary, right? So you end up in a situation where it's very hard to ever pin them down, right? And so they do make mistakes. It doesn't come off the middle of the bat, and it doesn't matter.
But like Travis Head doesn't like, okay, sure, he will muscle it every now and then, but quite often he just times them, right? The sound that the ball makes off the bat is like a proper whack. So it's a bit different.
It's different, but I don't think it's, I think if you go and have a look, there's still quite a few times on the offside when he's really giving it everything. I think we tend to think of power as shots on the leg side, and his shots on the leg side, he's probably, I don't think he throws his bat at those. I think he gets himself into a good position and trusts his timing and his strength. I think if you look on the offside, there's a lot more throwing the bat at the ball and having a go there. Look, he is a brilliant timer of the ball. I did this video during the World Test Championship when he made his runs to show the shot he played and then how fast it goes off the bat.
Yeah.
And you go back and you have a look at that and you'll be able to see straight away, oh, wow. Okay, I get it. And so he does time the ball well, but he is quite often trying to hit the ball very hard. I think it would be disingenuous to say that's not the case compared to, say, Joe Root, right? Like, he's trying to hit the ball a lot harder than them, but he's not a clubber in the way that probably Gilchrist was.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. And one thing that Travis Head kind of has in common with Adam Gilchrist is that he has a penchant to go massive in crucial games, like finals, for instance, or big billing test matches. I mean, he has that knack to rise to the occasion with an almost 100% record, really, if I am to think about it. So would you say, is that like an ode to his mental strength? Like, where does that come from? Because he's kind of become a cult hero specifically with that bit in his arc.
Yeah, I think that's probably a little bit of dumb luck. People won't want to hear that. They want to hear that he's a clutch player and everything else. I remember, do you remember the thing that people said Chris Gayle wasn't a very good player in finals? And I remember going and having a look at it, and it's like his record was unreal. Where he'd had his problems was he'd failed a couple of times in major finals of, I think the IPL or the ICC. But he played in a lot of big finals and been absolutely great. You know, he played one of the best innings I've seen in a semi-final of a World Cup back when no one knew who he was, right? But people have forgotten that. So it for your legacy, it matters, doesn't it? Right? Yeah. when it comes down to it, I think what he does is very uncluttered. Mm. And once he gets going, he's on top of you. It probably happens just as often in the games that aren't as big, right? Mm. But we just forget some of them.
Yeah. And I mean, an hour of Travis Head could absolutely obliterate you as an opposition team. And India have been at the receiving end of that a fair bit. But yeah, I mean, as far as his legacy is concerned, he is a big match player and he wins you those important games. Mm. But it's not just with the bat, Jared. Like, he's a part-timer. He'll get you crucial wickets, for instance, in the semi-final and final of the ODI World Cup. And we don't rate his fielding all too heavily at good areas. And then he'll sometimes take some or hold on to some screamers. So he's this weird guy who's always switched on when the stakes are high.
Yeah, he's not a good fielder. he's not. It was funny watching McSweeney come into the side and like McSweeney straight into and Bo Webster straight into the cordon. Where's Travis? Still out in the outer, is he? You would have thought senior guy, vice captain would have got a comfier seat by this point. Hmm. I think he's a proper cricketer. And I think that's all, if I was reevaluating him now, I wish that was the thing I'd gone back and had a look at. It now makes a lot of sense why South Australia took a punt on him as a young captain, because he's not. I think this is a really important thing to say. He's not a young cricket athlete, and by that I mean you compare him to a lot of those young Australian players, and they come in and they're completely ripped and they move brilliantly in the field and everything. You have a look at Travis Head; he's more stocky built. He looks more like a cricketer from the '80s and nineties.
Yeah, I mean he's got the mustache as well. So he completely fits that template of 80s and 90s cricketer.
But look at his core, right? His core, to me, looks like what batters used to look like, right?
Yeah.
You then look at the off spin. He doesn't take it that seriously, let's be honest. He makes fun of it all the time. He floats the ball up a little bit more than he has to. And he makes good moves in the field. He's just I think sometimes he's a bit of a space cadet in the field just because he's probably thinking strategy more than anything else and he gets a little bit lost. You know, that sort of Michael Vaughan-like fielder, right? A Mike Brearley-type fielder. He just like, okay, settle down, Einstein. You have to stop the next ball. So I do think there's a lot going on with his cricket. And I think that matched up with his ability to hit fours and sixes at a massive rate is probably why we're seeing the jump that we've seen, right? Which is... he's not a slogger. It's not like some of the other guys that we've seen. It's not like Fraser McGurk, right? Where Fraser McGurk might still develop into a different cricketer. Abhishek Sharma might still develop into a different cricketer. But they're hitters. Chris Lynn was a hitter, right? Travis Head's a batter who can score very, very quickly. And there is a difference to that. But then he plays with the freedom of a hitter, right? Hmm. To get yourself into that mindset when, as we said before, this was not how he was playing when he first came in. This isn't like Rishabh Pant, right? Rishabh Pant walked in doing this. And this isn't like the baseball guys where you have everyone's doing it, so if you fail, it doesn't matter. Hmm. If Travis Head came in this time and it didn't work, that might have been it.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at Australia's test team, right, it's him and Mitch Marsh who kind of play that counter-attacking role, and no one really does that up top. Now you've got Sam Constance, but you didn't for the longest time. So it's interesting how his role is, you know, extremely defined in each of those formats. He's an opener in the limited overs ones where he just needs to go out and bash and put the opposition under pressure. And he does the same thing in a middle order role at five in test cricket where he's also putting the opposition under pressure. And I think that's the sort of situation in which Travis Head thrives a lot. So... I mean, we've talked about him in ODIs, how he was an accidental opener, and now he's one of Australia's more important players, and he is the player of the match in both semi-final and final of the ODI World Cup in 2023. Also in Test cricket, you know, he's, you know, won a lot of laurels and is a World Test champion and performed in the final. In T20s, he was at the center of the revolution that we saw in the IPL, courtesy of Sunrisers Hyderabad, in which 270 and 260 and 280 kind of became the norm. But we haven't spoken about Travis Head versus the pink ball. And if we are discussing all format Head, then we definitely need to touch on that. This number that I read in your piece completely startled me, that Travis Head's average in day-night tests is 57. And he's played a fair few of them, right? And it's generally harder to bat against the pink ball, particularly under lights. But Travis Head seems unfazed, and I don't know how you explain that.
No, I mean, I think we might have even done this before, haven't we? We've talked about how Mitchell Starc is better, and we can go through the reasons why he's better. I can't really give you the reasons why Travis Head is better with the pink ball. The only thing I would say, and this is, I, and this is obviously just more off the top of my head rather than anything solid. But if you are a good all-format player, there is an element, I suppose, that there's a little bit of the red ball in it and a little bit of the white ball in it. Do you know what I mean?
How much of it is Adelaide? Because he loves playing in his hometown.
Well, the Adelaide thing's interesting. I don't think we got into it in that piece, but he doesn't make any runs in Adelaide domestically. Like, it's almost all internationally. So it's not one of these cases like Shreyas Iyer where you just like, you know, he's making runs in Mumbai and you need to pick him. It's really odd. It doesn't quite fit the pattern that you would expect it to be. But again, when he's playing in Adelaide internationally, he should be used to that wicket, right? Although they don't play all their Shield games there, but he should certainly be used to that wicket. And if it is the pink ball that plays a part, then maybe those two things come together perfectly for him. I don't know, but I can't explain it other than a little bit of red, a little bit of white, perhaps. But it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking, you know, when Australia played the West Indies at the Gabba with the pink ball and lost, I think he bagged a pair, Travis Head, if I'm not wrong. And now that they played India at Adelaide, being 1-0 down in the series in a pink ball test, he goes out and he completely smashes India to bits. So there must be something over there that might be a bit of an overlap, but this is all conjecture and we couldn't really find any solid trends around this.
So you said the day-night matches. So he's played 9 of them, which again, does tell you the Australians should dominate. Australians should just make every test a day-nighter. He made 100 in Hobart as well, though, man. Just having a look at this here. He made a 50 in Perth. You're right. He failed in Brisbane. So he's made runs outside of Adelaide as well. It's I would probably favour the ball a little bit more than anything else. But being at home does help, you know. It's worth – this is such a side. But, you know, so I've been finishing this documentary up on Kerry Packer and World Series cricket. And it's funny watching, thinking about Travis Head while we're making this documentary, because before Travis Head, the big guy was David Hooks. And there's so much pressure on David Hooks from such a young age, because South Australia, as we've talked about on this show many times before, have not had a lot of stars. They're robbed of big name players the way that certainly the Eastern States, but even Western Australia has gone way past them, right? You know, even Tasmania, you know, is not far away from them. And Tasmania has such a smaller population. So you're in a situation where there's so much more pressure on him, and it can go either way, right? And it seems to be with Travis Head, it doesn't seem to bother him at all. And he likes the stage. As you said before, you know, the one thing we would never say from him, I think, you know, big innings and everything, there's a little bit of luck. But he's certainly not afraid of that. It looks like he wants to bat in those situations.
Yeah, I mean, whenever he scores those big hundreds, he never goes over the top and punches the air like David Warner. It's always a calm and composed sort of celebration from Travis Head. It's as if he has like ice in his veins. Those ice cold celebrations kind of tell you a story. And I, at this point, am convinced that the mustache gives him power, because when he shaves it off, I see that his performances go down as well. And I don't think he's shaving it off anytime soon. But anyway, just a couple of questions. Yeah, I mean, he did.
We've asked for it on Crick Info many times. Don't worry about that.
But anyway, just before we end this podcast, I have two questions for you. Question number one, we can make a solid case on how Travis Head might be the best batter to come out of South Australia. But is he the best cricketer to come out of South Australia?
He's not the best batter to come out of South Australia.
Oh, really? Who is? Don?
Greg Chappell.
Oh, Greg Chappell. But Don Bradman was also from Adelaide, no?
Don Bradman lived in Adelaide, but he's from New South Wales. So
okay.
South Australia does claim him, but he was a fully established player before he ever got to South Australia. So, whereas the Chappells, both Chappells obviously, and well, all the Chappells, including the father was a club legend as well. And then there's a grandfather as well. But I would say that I think Travis Head has done more than Ian Chappell has at the moment. I think Ian Chappell was a bit of an unfulfilled player, though. He retired in his peak and then World Series cricket happened. But Greg Chappell, I still think, has the step up on Travis Head. Certainly as a test player, I don't think, you know, I don't know how Travis Head would ever get to Greg Chappell's level as a test player. We obviously didn't play a lot of T20 cricket, Greg Chappell. Pretty good one-day player, though. Averaged over 40 in one-day cricket as well. So I think Head has a step before he gets to him. But that's definitely within his grasp, I would have thought. And there aren't many. He's probably, as I said, already passed Ian Chappell.
And he's probably passed Dizzy as well, would you say, in terms of cricketers coming from South Australia? Or not?
Again, I don't think he's a better test player than Dizzy. But you'd have to say all formats. And again, Jason Gillespie didn't actually, like, because he missed, I think he was injured for the 99 and the 2003 World Cups, I want to say. Certainly didn't play in 99. I would have assumed they would have picked him if he was fit. His record's still pretty good in one-day cricket, but he doesn't have the legacy. So he played 97 at a bowling average of 25, an economy of 4.2, right? Mm-hmm. Which is good for his era or any era. But it's only 97 games, whereas a lot of, you know, think about how much ODI cricket was played back in those days, right?
Like, that's true. But this is a guy who was often injured as well. There's that.
And so I think if we're thinking all formats and we're talking about players born and bred in South Australia, I think Greg Chappell might still have him clear. All formats, I think he might have Gillespie. I'd be okay at saying that, which is incredible considering where he was only, you know, a couple of years ago to go from where he is now. And then it depends on how you want to feel about Don Bradman and Clary Grimmett, because they're both, one's a New Zealander and one's from New South Wales. I think also, I think Barry Richards might be in the all-time South Australian 11 as well. Again, not from South Australia. Darren Lehman, he's well past Darren Lehman. Was a very good limited overs player and a very good player in Asia for Australia, but you wouldn't even compare them now, right? And Darren Lehman probably had almost as much natural ability as Travis Head, but it just didn't come out in the same way. And with Head, it's this incredible explosion. I suppose the other question is, what happens if he kind of finishes now, right? Like, it's not a long period of time he's been dominant. Mm. As a cricket journalist, I would travel up to 200 days a year, and I loved every part of it, except for one, this little evil pin here, because I needed this to change my SIM card. And when you travel in cricket, you're quite often going from country to country. Don't get me started on how much this would annoy me in the West Indies, but even going from New Zealand to Australia, this pin was the worst. Well, with the Sally eSIM, they sort all of that out for you. They have an eSIM app that you install once, it's cheap, and it works in more than 160 countries around the world. No more turning up at an airport and lining up for a local SIM, trying to give over your passport and your details, and you just want to get in a taxi and go where you're going. No, Sally make it so much easier. You just download the app before you travel and you decide what kind of plan you actually need. Oh, and if you do that with our code, GOODAREAS, all one word, you get an exclusive 15% discount on Sally eSIM data plans. So go right now and download the Sally app and use the code GOODAREAS, all one word, at checkout and travel like a pro with Sally.
It's like the Klaassen thing, right? When he's been dominant, he's been absolutely exceptional. Yep. And he's been at the helm of all the explosions that have been happening within cricket in terms of strike rate in particular, because his true strike rates are through the roof, right? Travis Head Klaassen's is the true strike rate king.
Is it? Klaassen's really interesting. Do you remember when Klaassen first got known?
I mean, we did an entire footmarks on him. But it was that India game when he took down Chahal.
But there isn't much between then and when he becomes good or great.
Yeah, that's true. Right?
Travis Head, similar thing. He has that innings in domestic cricket that really propels him, but it actually takes a long time. Both of them attacking players, both of them with their own methods that are a little bit different. In the way that they go about it, I wonder if there's a link between those kinds of players. And then, is it just going to be 3 years of Travis Head, right? Like, he's the best all format player in the world at the moment. I don't know if anyone would argue with that seriously.
I think he's the best all format batter in modern day cricket. Cricketer would be Bumrah for me still.
Yeah, but do you know what I mean? So if he's the best all format player for 3 years, but doesn't have maybe the counting stats or drops off at the end or whatever it may be, it'd be really interesting to see where he ends up, you know, especially compared to people like Ian Chappell and Jason Gillespie, who had fuller careers, if that ends up being the case. The opposite, of course, can happen, where he can have another 3 years like he is now, and then, you know, then he's having more of like a Matt Hayden-like career, where it's just like, his peak may not be as long as other people's, his career may not be as long as other people's, but his peak is so good in that period of time that you can't say much about it. But he's 31 now. It could be that we're about to see the end of Travis Head, or it doesn't look like it the way he plays to me. But if it's another 3 years, then, you know, even Greg Chappell might be, you know, lifting off his very large sun hat with his own name on it and stroking his chin.
So when exactly did Greg Chappell retire? Was it early 80s or late 80s?
84, 85, was it?
Okay, so I'll tell you now. I'll come up with a case for Travis Head. What sets him apart from Klaassen is the fact that, well, Klaassen doesn't play test cricket, even if he potentially could have cut it. So Travis Head is all format. And Greg Chappell might be a better cricketer and better batter, even across both of the formats that he played. But when it comes to the legacy of Travis Head, people will remember the trophies. That's how fans view the game. And they will remember his contributions in all of those big games that won Australia those trophies. And that, I feel, is his, that's what gets him his cult status. He is that guy. He is him, right? He has it. That's what I feel Travis Head is all about. And he is not unlike any other opener in this era. But at least, you know, in modern day cricket, when you think of explosive batting openers in or opening batters in limited overs cricket, Travis Head is pretty much the first or at most like second name that comes to your mind.
Yeah, I'd be, interesting.
At worst, the second player that comes to your mind, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because he's got the record now to go past someone like Dean Jones. Hmm. But Dean Jones wins the 87 World Cup and then becomes the best ODI batter in the world and still averages, what, high 40s in Test cricket as well? But no one talks about Dean Jones anymore because it didn't go on for long enough, right? And he wasn't picked. Dean Jones was probably a better batter in his 30s than he was in his 20s and wasn't picked anymore, right?
I mean, Dean Jones, the commentator, is probably more popular at this point.
Or less popular. Yeah. Hashim Amla. But I think there is, and I think Head's already done more through the IPL, the World Test Championship, and the ODI World Cup. But you see what I mean? We have had probably players that for 2 or 3 years were, and then you go back. So I'm trying to, Abbas in Pakistan is probably another one that maybe, there must be a reason. You go through Abbas's numbers and you do think to yourself, really? The Asian Bradman? Are we sure, everyone? This was the Asian Bradman? But there must have been a 2 or 3 year period where Abbas was just looked like the best batter in the world, right?
He's talking about Zahir Abbas, guys, not Mohammed Abbas.
Yeah, Mohammed Abbas, not the best batter in the world. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I think if you go through the history of the game, there's probably Neil Harvey might be another one who did that when he was really, really young. You get these players who years later, we might look back and go, are we sure? And it's like, no, well, for 3 years, he was the fastest scorer in, he was the most destructive white ball player. And he was an incredibly fast red ball player who could win matches or series for you in a blink of an eye. And he won all these trophies.
You also have to experience Travis Head because he is like a visceral experience who is very feral in nature in the way that he kind of goes about his cricket. And even like his attitude, like he's going to give you an earful if you kind of butt heads with Travis Head. He's that kind of guy.
Yeah, if you butt heads with Head. And what we're talking about at the moment is if he suddenly drops off, right? There's a possibility that won't happen. But if he does ease off even off over the next couple of years, it'll be really interesting to see what his legacy is. He will be, if that's the case, he will be a streets will know kind of player, right? Yep. And if he has 2 more years, then I think that's when you get to that Greg Chappell thing that you're talking about before, where you're just like, you can't, this guy's averaging this and he was striking at this and he did it in all three formats when no one else was doing it. Because the one last thing I would say, we don't know how many more all format stars we're going to have in cricket, let alone in batting.
Rare commodity. Cricket, yeah.
Right. And so what if we never have another batter like Head or AB de Vries?
Yeah.
Right? Or Virat Kohli when he was doing it, right? Whoever you want it to be. If we never have other players like that in the future, does that mean that Head gets remembered as that last guy who could do that, right? And, you know, then that's a very different conversation again.
Yes, I suppose where we're at is that will he end up as a streets will never forget cricketer or an out-and-out legend, bona fide legend of the game? And only time can tell us. But I think, like, currently where we're at, there is no doubt that he's the best all-format batter. Like, I don't think that's a conversation at the moment. It's funny, when we recorded the Crickpix episode on best all-format cricketers, Head wasn't doing too well. And he didn't even feature on that list. And right after that, he started doing well. And now he's probably number one or number two after Bumrah on that list. But yeah, I mean, this is all a very
interesting
debate.
That just shows
you
how much of this is really recent.
Yeah, it is very, very recent. But it's so frequent, right? And it's always like headline worthy. That's what Travis Head is. I mean, it's in the name. It is a headline. Yeah, Travis Headline. But anyway, you guys let us know what your thoughts are on the big man with the mustache in the comment section below, because that kind of wraps up our podcast over here as well. Just a quick reminder, you can go to goodareas.co and bookmark that webpage, and that can prove to be your one-stop shop for all the work that we do as part of this team, whether it be written content, videos, or podcasts. We'll be with you soon enough for another Footmarks or Quick Picks or Good Areas Live or Red Inca. We just hope that you enjoyed this episode. So have a good one, guys. That's all from us. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bairam Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.